All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to be looking again at Psalm 23. Psalm 23. If you don't have a Bible, try to share with or scoot next to somebody, all right, that has one. Familiar passage, but hopefully we'll be able to look at it and finish up this morning. We started last Sunday looking at Psalm 23. We're going to try to finish it up. Paul Payton was talking about being thankful, and one thing that I'm thankful for is my health. And then I was looking at some actual medical records taken from patients' charts around North America this morning, and it made me even more thankful that I'm not in one of those facilities this morning because these people work there. This is taken from some of the patients' charts. This one, the baby was delivered, the cord clamped and cut, handed to the pediatrician, who breathed and cried immediately. Now, you may not figure that out, but then there was another one. The patient was in his usual state of good health until his airplane ran out of gas and crashed. I don't know what that had to do with the hospital, but that was actually written on the medical record. I thought this one was good. The patient lives at home with his mother, father, and pet turtle, who is presently enrolled in daycare 3 times a week. So I didn't know that turtles went to daycare, but hopefully the turtle learns a lot. And then this one I thought was interesting. She is numb from her toes down. So I don't... It seems like she's doing pretty good then, myself, but... and then this one, I don't know, I'm thinking that some problem with English here. Occasional, constant, infrequent headaches. Occasional, constant, infrequent headaches. Some of you probably aren't sure about that because those are big words. I understand that, but it'll maybe look them up this afternoon in a dictionary. That's one of those big things that you haven't looked at for a long time, okay? Then this one was another interesting one. The patient was alert and unresponsive. I'm pretty sure they were talking about preaching on Sunday morning in church. Oh, yes, yes. That'll happen in just a couple minutes. And then I like this one. When she fainted, her eyes rolled around the room. So I'm not sure if that is good or bad. Okay, but Psalm 23, so I am thankful for my health. We're looking at Psalm 23. We're going to read it again together, except this morning we'll read all 6 verses, all right, because we're going to try to finish it. Psalm 23, all 6 verses, and then follow my lead as far as the pace. Starting in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We looked last week at the first 3 verses. The Lord is my shepherd. We looked at a possession that the Lord can be our shepherd. Then we looked at a promise, and that is found in the end of verse 1 where it says, I shall not want. Then we looked at a provision in verse 3 and verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And then in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. One man wrote a poem that kind of fits with what we're starting out with this morning. It's entitled, At the Place of the Sea. Have you come to the Red Sea place in your life, where in spite of all you can do, there is no other way but through? Then wait on the Lord with a trust serene till the night of your fear is gone. He will send the winds. He will heap the floods. When he says to your soul, go on. And his hand shall lead you through, clear through, ere the watery walls roll down. No wave can touch you. No foe can smite. No mightiest sea can drown. The tossing billows may rear their crest. Their foam at your feet may break. But over their bed you shall walk dry shod, and the path that your Lord shall make. In the morning watch, neath the lifted cloud, you shall see but the Lord alone. When he leads you forth from the place of the sea to a land that you have not known, and your fears shall pass as your foes have passed, you shall no more be afraid. You shall sing his praise in a better place, and a place that his hand hath made. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we would ask this morning that you would meet with us, deal with our hearts. Holy Spirit, we always ask you to do that which I cannot, and that is to speak to hearts. Lord, we do claim your power. We ask for you to be evident here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm 23 here, we're going to be looking at the latter part of verse 3. And we're going to pick up and we're going to finish this passage here, Psalm 23. Here in this passage in verse 3, it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So our next point, we looked at a possession, a promise, a provision. But here we see that God, the Lord, our shepherd, has a path for us. It says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, in these days, compromise and accommodation is applauded. You know, most of the time they ask you when it comes to your principles that maybe if you just give in a little bit. Although, as a Christian, the Bible says that we walk on a narrow path. And the Bible tells us that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And so God has a pathway for us. And so this day and age, it's a day of compromise, a day of accommodation. But what if a pilot of an airliner who's heading for a distant city across the ocean, and he has his compass and he has all of his gadgets there that he's looking at. But one person will point him to the destination. When he nears that airport, he doesn't, and you sitting on that plane, you really do not want the pilot to have a broad-minded approach. You do not want him to say, you know what, I'm thinking that I'm gonna reach out and venture out because, you know, there's a lot of thoughts out there of how to land a plane. And there's a lot of area out there. And, you know, and it probably would be nice to experience a little bit more. So he nears the airport. His passengers, again, they don't want him to debate with the control tower. The control tower comes back and tells him to have this heading. He's like, no. Let's talk about this. Let's have some collaboration here. I mean, do you really want me to put this plane at that heading? There's probably lots of headings. Now, you, if you could be patched into the headphones of the pilot, you would probably, now I think they have it locked down, but somebody would be knocking on that door up front. Somebody would be mad saying, pilot, you better listen to the control tower. This is not the time to broaden your horizons. We want to be down. They want him to listen closely to the man in charge and to obey his instructions implicitly. And so it is the same way that the Lord our shepherd has a path for you. He has a path. And it can be clear and it can be evident which pathway you should go on. You notice in this text it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He is my guide. He leadeth me. How does God lead you as a young person? How does God lead you as a young adult? How does God lead you as somebody that has a family, somebody that's older? How does God lead you? Well, the Bible tells us that we can be led through the Scripture. We can go to the scripture. And Jesus even told us in John 17, thy word is what? Truth. You can go to the truth of the scripture and you can know the pathway you should take. I am thankful we're talking about Thanksgiving and we're talking about a thankful heart. I am thankful that I have a shepherd that doesn't leave me out there to wander and say, you know what, just go your own way. No, he has a path for me. He leads me. He leads me through scripture. How else does he lead you and I? He leads us through the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? The Holy Spirit is there to nudge us and to guide us and to say, hey, you know what? You are going down the wrong path. It may be a crevice on the pathway. It may be a cliff that you're nearing. And the shepherd is there and the Spirit is there to say, no, get away from that edge. That's the guidance that we have. He leads through the scripture. He leads through the Spirit. He leads through spiritual counsel. He can lead through specific circumstances sometimes. But the Lord, our shepherd, can guide us. But one of the biggest things we have to do is listen. In the days of the telegraph, it is said that there was a number of guys that were going in to hopefully get a job as a telegraph operator. One boy in the story, he came in to the office, and there were seven other guys that were trying to get the job. He went up to the desk, and he wrote in his application, and the secretary said, you can just take a seat. And off in the distance, there was a telegraph running. He sat down. The seven other guys were there with him. Then after about 10 or 15 minutes, all of a sudden, this guy that just walked in popped up, headed past the reception desk, right into the owner's office. The seven other guys were like, oh man, he's going to get reamed out. He's going to get reprimanded. I can't wait to hear it. We're going to probably see him flying through the door. A few minutes later, the young man walked out. And the owner came out with him and said, hey, fellas, looking at the seven other guys, sorry, but this man got the job. They're like, oh, no, no, that's not fair. No, we were here earlier. And the owner said, well, something is wrong with you guys. Because the telegraph that was running over there, it was sending out a message. The message was, if you can hear this, come in and see me. I'm the owner. Obviously, you don't know how to either hear a telegraph or read from a telegraph because that message was going nonstop and none of you guys heard it. And I tell that story to help you understand that God has a path and he's given us ways to find the path, but your job and my job is to be in tune with the shepherd. There are so many things that get in the way from us hearing what the shepherd says. It might be sin that's in your life. It might be even some carnal friend that comes by and says, oh, you don't have to listen to the Bible. Yes, you do. The pathway can be clear, but you need to make sure you're in tune to the shepherd. You got to know how to listen. You notice here in this passage, it says that he leadeth me, but notice how he leads me. What does it say? He leads me in the what? The paths of sinfulness. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Nope, that's not in there. But yet, that's what some of you are taking. You're taking the path of sinfulness. Or you're taking the path of selfishness. You're taking your own path and you think that you are on God's path. And I can tell you this, if you're on that path of sin, you're on that path of self, the Bible tells me that isn't the shepherd's path. That is your own path. Don't come to me and say, I'm doing God's will and you are carnal as a Christian. You're not on God's path. Don't blame my shepherd for that. No, my shepherd, he only leads you in a right way, in a right path. And if we're going down our own selfish pathway, we're going down our own path of sin, do not say that it is the Lord that's leading you. Because the Bible here says that the Lord, he's my shepherd, and he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. He leads me in a right way. So when I am coming to church, and all of a sudden, maybe as a young person, and the bus captain or somebody is coming to you and they're saying, hey, you need to be at church. And you say, you know what? I just think that my path is not faithful to church. I can tell you this, that isn't God's path. Because I know my Bible. I can go to Scripture. The Holy Spirit can lead me. And I know that His pathway leads through faithfulness to church. And so when a pathway takes me away from church, guess what? It's real simple. That isn't the shepherd's path. Oh, it's somebody else. It's a charlatan's path. It is a path of a robber and a destroyer. It's a path of somebody that's saying they're a shepherd, but their only reason for getting that sheep away is to destroy the sheep. See, I need to be careful in finding God's path. God's path, He will guide me. And He will guide me in the right way. It says that He guides me in the paths of righteousness. And it says also that following God's path will do what? Will bring Him glory. How do I know that? Because it says for His name's sake. Do you know as a Christian, as a sheep, and remember last week we were talking about this, most of us probably don't really, if you study sheep, I really don't like to be compared to a sheep that much because they're stupid, they're ignorant, they're dumb. You can use any synonym, all right, for basically stupidity, idiocy, and basically that's what a sheep is. And you and I are compared to that, and part of that is because we need a shepherd. We need the Savior to lead us. And the Bible tells us that we can have that shepherd personally, and when we follow his path, it brings him glory. You can make the shepherd happy by following his path. So here we see our next point, and this was a pathway. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then in verse 4 and 5, we kind of see two things put together here. We see a protection and a peacefulness. We see a protection and a peacefulness that comes to the sheep. Notice when it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so here I use the two, and it's a protection and a peacefulness. A protection. Yea, though I walk. And what's interesting, and Spurgeon talks about this when you read, when Spurgeon was studying this passage, you'll notice what he says, yea, though I run. No, he walks. A Christian does not have to fear death. He can walk. You know this. Walking indicates a determined pace. It determines, it's a deliberate pace. And so our shepherd says that you can, when it comes to the valley of the shadow of death, you can face it with deliberation. You can face it with determination. And you can walk towards it. Why? Is it because we're so strong and mighty? No, because he, the shepherd, is with me. I can walk with protection. There was a storm that wrecked a ship. The only survivor of the ship was a little boy. He was swept by the waves onto a rock, and there he sat all night long. In the morning, the little boy was seen and he was rescued. One of his rescuers asked him, "Did you tremble when you were on the rock during the night?" And the little boy said, "Oh, I surely did tremble, but the rock didn't." And that's the same thing that is true when you and I face a valley. It does say the valley of the shadow of death, and I think it can be talking about death. I think it also can be talking about just some valleys, because you and I, as we are going through life, we will face some valleys. You will face some hard times, but the Bible is indicating to us that the shepherd can be with you. And you'll notice that the pathway led through the valley. In the passage, we're talking about a sheep that is following his shepherd, and the shepherd had, he led those sheep through the valley. You'd say, "What a wicked and mean shepherd." No, but he didn't leave them alone. The shepherd's there with them. He's taking them there so that sheep, maybe it's because he has to get somewhere. Maybe there's better grass on the other side and it's very important to go through that valley. But the shepherd knows that this sheep is going to be scared. And so that's why the shepherd stays with him. Man, what comfort we can have in our shepherd and our Savior, because he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He's going to be there with us. There's going to be valleys. Security is promised in the valleys. I think it's interesting to notice that it says the valley of the shadow of death. One person put it this way: only the shadow of it remains. And another person said, where there is a shadow, there must be light. Because you can't have a shadow without light. And so that's what the Savior, our shepherd, is indicating to you and I. Hey, I know it's going to be dark, but there is a shadow there. And that means that he is light for you and I. He can lead us in the pathway. But you also see a peacefulness. Because I'm not going to fear any evil. Thou art with me. And then it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, most of us have probably read a little bit about a shepherd or the sheep and understand the rod and the staff. Most of the time, the rod and the staff for Middle Eastern shepherds, most of the rod and the staff was one tool. Sometimes they might have two, but most of the time it was one tool. And the rod and staff that they took, the majority of time it was found as the shepherd was a young boy, and he would go off and he would find a rod that would fit his hand perfectly, and then he would slowly shave it down to fit his exact needs. In fact, one shepherd talks about how good there was competitions in the Middle East. Competitions of the rod that they had, and they would be so expert at it that they could throw it. They could throw that rod and they could hit almost anything within a certain distance. And they'd have competitions as young men. And so the shepherd here has a rod and a staff, and you notice it says that they comfort me. Now there's a couple of different things that the rod and the staff was used for. One instance that a rod was used for was when a predator was near, that rod could be used, and that shepherd could zing it at an enemy. He could zing it at a predator, an animal that was coming after the sheep. Because remember, sheep are helpless. And so our shepherd has a rod and a staff, and they bring comfort, because the enemy, the prowlers that are out there, my shepherd knows who they are. I may not understand them. I might not know how they are out there coming and maybe snarling and waiting for the shepherd to go away. But that shepherd is diligent, and he's there, and he's practiced, and he understands the danger that is out there, and my shepherd will not leave me in harm's way. That is the shepherd that you and I have. And so I should love my shepherd for that. The other reason that the shepherd has the rod and the staff is because sometimes he could reach out with that rod, and most of the time at the bottom of the staff, remember they would find these rods. Most of the time it was a little bigger and they would shape it and they would whittle it down, and it would kind of sometimes be a little ball there. And that shepherd could reach out and he might nudge one of his sheep who's going off in a different way. And just that simple nudge would push that sheep back into the pathway in which he was guiding him. Sometimes it's reported that shepherds would reach out, and a shepherd would reach out and just hold his staff just on the side of a sheep just for a few minutes as they were walking. And what did that sheep know? Just by that little nudge there, and it stayed there for a little while. What did that sheep know? Oh, my shepherd's here. He's here right by me. Well, I feel my shepherd. He's right there. And a sheep has a tendency to wander. Sheep have a tendency to go their own way. And so by that sheep knew that, oh, the shepherd is here. And look at, he's just holding me right here, and he cares about me. And you and I can feel that sometimes. I know that. We don't put everything in our spiritual being based on feelings. We don't put a lot of stock into it. I understand that. But there are some feelings that God can send our ways. And one of those is that he is there with you. And when you are going through that hard time, and when you're on that pathway and it seems like you're alone, our shepherd reaches out, and maybe just for a little time, he holds that rod there. And you know that the shepherd is there to guide you and comfort you. He's there to help you. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. But you notice what else it says, thou preparest a table before me. And notice, in the presence of my enemies. I sat and read that over the last couple weeks, and I was reading on it and studying it. But you can see, it's not that hard to take up the words. It says that he's preparing a table in front of his enemies. Now, normally, if I'm out in a fight, or you're out in a fight, or you're in the middle of the enemy, think of a battlefield. Normally, what do you do? Do you call in the colonel or whatever, or the captains? They call in the people, and there's bullets flying, and there's rockets going overhead. And he calls you in, and he says, hey, we've put out the fine linen this evening. And you walk in, and they're like, we'd like you to dress up a little more. And so there on the battlefield, you try to shine your boots. And you walk in, and there is all the fine linen, and there is all the fine china, and you sit down. And the captain says, hey, by the way, we were able to get a couple. We sent some invitations to the other side. And we've asked them to come over, and you look across. Let's say it's World War II. And there you have a Nazi, little German. And he bows to you and speaks like, all right, and he salutes you. You're like, oh, what in the world? And he sits you down and he feeds you this unbelievable meal. Now, most of us would say, now that's kind of crazy. But here in this passage, it says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I think what God is trying to say to you and I is that sometimes you're going to be in a battle. You're going to be in the midst of turmoil. It may be that you're down in the valley and you're fighting it out. But God says that I will give you so much comfort, so much peace, that it is though the enemy has to hold off and I lay out the table and you can eat all you want. That's your shepherd. That's the control he has in our lives. The control that he can say, although the enemies are circling around us, he says, wait a minute, they may be circling, but listen, I can feed you. I can take care of your needs. It's as though, remember in the Old Testament, we had the prophet, and the prophet was there, and the enemy was coming after him, and his servant Gehazi was saying, hey, prophet, this is horrible. And the prophet turned to the Lord and said, Lord, open up his eyes. And out there was the forces of our God and Savior holding back the enemy. And in the same way, you and I can take comfort when it comes to battle time, when it comes to a hard time. You don't have to worry about your needs, because our shepherd can lay out a table even in the presence of our enemies. It says also in this passage that thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runneth over. Both of them indicating that there is enough and overflowing. It reminds me of the little boy that gave his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And afterwards, he went running home and there was 12 baskets full. There was so much that everybody had all they can eat. And then he walks home, not with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but with 12 baskets. And in the same way, you and I, when we serve our Savior and we serve our shepherd, and we may be going through a hard time, you can rest in the Lord. You can trust in the shepherd. And although you may say, well, I don't have very much to give, and I don't know where my meal may come from tomorrow, but you can trust in the shepherd. Because you follow his path, not the path of sinfulness, not the path of self. You follow his path of righteousness, and he promises that he can lay a spread out for you. But notice what it says here in verse 6. And I think this is the permanence. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now I think, in my estimation here, I think that David is talking about the house of the Lord. I think in some cases he's talking not about heaven. I think he's talking about here on earth. And you could say, well, maybe not, but I have studied, I've looked at it, and I understand there's probably some reference to heaven. But I think David is talking about his love for being in God's house. And how do I know that? Because you got to read the Psalms. And you will find in the book of Psalms that David over and over says, I would rather be a keeper of the door in the house of the Lord. In Psalm 73, David is wondering about these others, the world, and how they're so successful. And then it says, then he went into the house of the Lord. And God explained it to him. David had a love for God's house. Not for future, for right now. He had a love for God's house. And you know where goodness and mercy shall follow you? I believe in the house of the Lord. I believe that God, our shepherd, wants to give you so much. And he can take care of every one of your needs. But so many of us don't find it. Why? Because you can't be faithful to the place where the shepherd dwells. He loves the house of the Lord. I believe our shepherd, our God, and our Savior, I believe that he loves the house of God. And for his sheep, he wants to impart into you that love for the house of the Lord. On the Today Show many, many years ago, they had a little excerpt, and they had an expose on what they called the happiness industry. And there were people, of course for a fee, who would help you, oh yeah, be happy. One of them was an ad man who left his advertising business and he started something in New England called the Options Institute. And man, he could get up and he said that, of course, for a fee, he could help you as an individual learn that there was other options. And one of those options, oh yes, was to be happy. Oh man, it was touching, it was moving. But as you think of an industry like that, how silly in some ways. Because so many people in our world, and even in America, there are so many people that are depressed, discouraged, down and out, and nothing is ever good enough for them, and they just need a little bit of happiness. And here this guy was, ready to swoop in, and for a fee, he could make you happy. But what's interesting to me is by the end of Psalm 23, David didn't need to go to somebody to the Options Institute. He didn't have to go pay a fee. All he had to do was find a shepherd. And his shepherd made him say, "And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me for a few days until my money runs out. Until my food and my fridge is empty, and then I'm going to start crabbing and complaining again." No, you don't see that in the Psalms here. He said, "It's going to be all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we look at Psalm 23 then, what about your life? Are you following the shepherd? Remember from last week, the shepherd can be yours. It's a possession. It's a personal possession. The Lord is my shepherd. Then why not follow him? Why not go to him? There's an old European story about a traveler who came upon a barn. The devil was said to own the barn, and he had stored seeds in this barn, which he planned to sow in the hearts of people. There was all kinds of bags as this traveler walked into this barn that the devil owned, and there was bags of fear and bags of doubt and despair and unforgiveness and pride and greed. There was all kinds of bags, and they were marked. The devil appeared to the traveler, struck up a conversation with him. He told the traveler how all these seeds he had sown all across the world in the hearts of all kinds of men and women. And man, those seeds were blossoming. Man, they were working good. And then the traveler looked at the man, looked at the devil, and said, "Well, are there any hearts in which these seeds will not sprout?" And the devil got kind of a melancholy look. He almost became depressed. And he said, "These seeds will not sprout in the heart of a thankful and joyful person." When you come to Psalm 23, all I can think about is how thankful I am that I have a shepherd. And he will guide me. He will lead me. He will protect me. He has a plan for me. He has a path for me. And sometimes even he may have to nudge me away from something that I think is good, but it's going to cause harm. But that's my shepherd. And especially at this time of year, can't you stop and turn to this shepherd and say, "Thank you for being my Savior and shepherd"? And it should cause us then to follow him more resolutely. We should follow him and say, "God, you know what? I may not understand some things as a sheep because I'm just a sheep, but thou art the shepherd." And we should fall in line behind our shepherd and say, "God, thank you for being such a great shepherd." Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. It may be that just this last week, maybe you came back. I know there was a couple that raised your hand last week, and my prayer is that you came back. And you raised your hand last week and you said, I do not know the shepherd as my personal Savior. We didn't talk a lot about the shepherd this morning as far as in that regard. But I think you understand that trusting in the shepherd is the way that we get to heaven. But if you could say, while you were speaking this morning, God dealt with my heart in the area of salvation. And it could be from last week or the week before, but God's been dealing with your heart and you know that you are not saved. You have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're not going to embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you as we close. If there's someone like that this morning and you'd say, I am not saved, I know it, would you pray for me as you close in prayer? Is there anybody like that? You'd slip up your hand? You'd slip up your hand. All right. You see? Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. All right. Thank you. Anybody else? Now, when we pray, I'm going to pray for you. All right. Thank you. When we pray, my prayer doesn't get you saved. What I'm praying for is that you have the courage and boldness when we have the invitation to step out. Someone down front will try to help you, get you to somebody that can show you the Savior. We're not going to try to trick you. We just want to introduce you to the shepherd. And as Christians here this morning, it may be that God dealt with your heart. You haven't been following the shepherd like you should. Maybe it goes back to that pathway, and you've been choosing your own path. And man, you've been having all kinds of things come at you, and you've been wondering why. Well, you know what? God wants you to follow the shepherd. Heavenly